Welcome back to another episode of Nevermorph, a series in which I read every Animorphs book for the first time. If you didn't listen to the last episode, that is very strange. You should probably do that. But more importantly, this episode comes with a heavy content warning for discussions and depictions of suicidal ideation and attempt. Take care of yourself. This episode is a continuation of my conversation of book three with the wonderful and delightful Josh Rubino, who will also be back to discuss book five so we can shit talk Marco more together. He's an amazing voice actor, and like last time, his site is linked in the show description. If you'd like to support Nevermorph and get access to early episodes, extended conversations, and more, you can find the link to our Patreon in the show notes. Buckle in for the rest of the conversation about this very fucked up book. So this next chapter, chapter 14, is the emotional turning point of this book.
Oh, this is the rough one.
It's already been really fucking bad and really dark. But in this chapter, everything changes kind of forever for Tobias.
Yeah, this is the content warning chapter.
This is where it starts, but the next chapter is...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So in this one, he is again trying to, like...
Oh, wait. Real quick.
Yeah.
Just at the last meeting, I did want to point out that one of the things that was also occurring, which definitely adds to Tobias, like, freaking out, is that Marco is clearly trying to flirt with Rachel.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And she just thinks he's being a dick.
Yes. But like, we
Marco
know.
Marco is like, he's teenage boy flirting. And they don't necessarily write that Tobias is picking up on it, but like.
But you know.
Yeah, the reader is picking up on it. And since we are inside Tobias's mind for this, it's sort of. You know, it's insinuated that, yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Rachel doesn't like when people watch her doing gymnastics.
Right. Marco didn't make notes on this because I thought it was just going to be like a throwaway bit because I write these notes as I read.
Mm-hmm.
This gymnastics thing is a big deal.
Yeah. Rachel doesn't like it when people watch her perform. Marco is a teenage boy that wants to see the girl he has a crush on in a unitard. And that's that's pretty much where that goes. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll be sure to watch you while you're up there and everything.
And everybody is like, don't go. Leave her alone. Don't go. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. Which adds to him being a shit, but it's also very clearly, oh, you're a boy and you don't know how to express yourself properly, so you're just going to be an asshole to the person that you like. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's the only other thing that I wanted to point out from that meeting.
Yeah, thank you. That's very important and, again, not something I had a note of. So glad we didn't gloss over that one. So Tobias is having this, like, breakdown where he is just like so desperately trying to convince himself that being a hawk is actually great. There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine and it's good and it's awesome and it's cool and it's good and it's fine and he loves it. He flies off to scope out the mountain. He goes to a meadow and he's like, this is so chill, actually. This is awesome. I can fly and that's super cool. And I can go see an outside sports or concerts for free. I can go to Disneyland for free, like granted, or I guess Six Flags of New Jersey. I can't go on the rides, but like I could chill at an amusement park. I don't have to pay admission. This is amazing, actually. This is perfect. This is so good. And then he gets to the meadow and he is hungry and there's so many prey animals. And he hunts a rat and kills it and eats it.
Yeah, he's like so busy thinking about, like, falsely thinking about how much he loves being a hawk that he doesn't even realize that he's hunting and he eats this rat and oh my God, he ate a rat and it felt great.
Yes. This passage reads,
a series of no's, like he's just yelling no. And then it says, I fell back. I looked down at my talons. They were red with blood. Rat meat dripped from my beak. In my panic, I forgot what I was. I tried to run away, but I no longer had legs and feet to run with. I had killing talons, bloody talons. I fell in the dirt. No, I cried voicelessly, but I could still see the dead rat and I could taste it. And no matter how many times I said no, it would always be yes. So this is the turning point for Tobias. This is like kind of him reckoning with his point of no return in being forced to grapple with the reality of what he is now. There's no more illusions that he is like 100% a human trapped in a hawk body. He is a human and he is a hawk. This felt very like eating the fae food to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's had the taste of it and now he can't go back. Like before, when he was, you know, picking at meatloaf in Jake's attic, like he could tell himself, oh, it's because the meat's cold, because he had to sneak it up here. That's why I don't like it. Now he knows it's because he wants to hunt and that food will make him feel better. Like, mm-hmm. that's what he needs.
Mm-hmm. This was rough.
Yeah.
And then, boy, howdy, things do not get better.
No, this next chapter is so fucking rough. But everyone is there for Tobias, which I really like. Nobody's like, why are you acting like this? Everybody is just completely understanding of what he's going through. I don't know how to say this other than it's just really nice to see compassion.
Yeah. Again, like looking at the trans themes here, like I get that feeling of like there is a feeling of, and my perspective here is very, again, like very specific. I've talked about this on the show a few times. I'm very agender, so I don't necessarily have the same experience with like my gender journey, which I hate calling it that, but like you get what I mean. I don't quite have the same experience as binary trans people or people who feel a lot of dysphoria. Just not something that I deal with in the way that people usually think of, but like there's that feeling. It's like you've been given a little Pandora's box that just has the word gender on it. And most of your life, you're like, it's just a normal box. It's a normal box. And then one day you're like, huh, I wonder what could be in there. Probably normal things. And then you open it and you're like, oh, no. Oh, no. And like, once you see it, you can never unsee it. And it will make itself present to you forever. You can act like you don't see it. You can deny it. You can turn away from it. But it's there forever. It will get at you forever. There's no unknowing it. And that compassion for what he is going through, the way that they write, like they are compassionate and he knows that they are. And he also knows that they will never be able to understand what he is going through. There's no mm-hmm. way for them to conceptualize it unless it happens to them too. But that doesn't mean that their compassion is useless or ill-advised or anything else. It just is the state of the things. Their compassion cannot possibly break through what this revelation has done to him, which can be, from a trans lens, it can be really celebratory. It can also be like the scariest thing that's ever happened to you. Here, it very clearly, it's not something that he wants. It's not something that he wants to grapple with, but it's where he's at. So like their compassion means so much and is so important, but it still can't break through the irreconcilable change that he has just gone through.
Mm-hmm.
He does not take to this well, and I can't say that I blame him. He spends the next chapter.
He spends the next chapter flipping out.
Like, he is desperate to try to kill himself. He's not thinking of it in as much as killing himself, kind of. Only in as much as, like, I assume that they did, like, control F, kill myself. Like,
yeah, it's very much it's phrased as, like, he wants to knock himself out to wake himself up. Like, he's very much like, this is just a bad dream. I need to do something drastic, and I just need to do something. And because he's a hawk, the only things he can really do are fly and hunt, and he doesn't want to hunt. So he just, like, speeds through a mall. And this is the only laugh that I got in this chapter, is when he's flying through the mall and it says all of the store names and they're all defunct businesses now.
Oh my god, I don't even think I clocked that. I do remember that there was a Radio Shack. What else was there? Radio Shack.
There was a Radio Shack. I believe there was a B. Dalton's. Like, it was all things that I remember because I was a child in the 90s. You went to the mall to hang out.
Yeah.
And be a youth. And, I remember these stores in the mall, that in the Smith Haven Mall, you know, where I would hang out. And just, like, seeing the names one after another like that, just like, nope, nope, oof. Nope.
A graveyard.
It made me laugh really hard. And then I continued reading and I was brought back down to earth.
Yeah, brought back down to hell in this chapter.
Oh, yeah.
So Tobias's plan here, he is heading to the mall. He knows that Rachel's at the mall. We know that he goes to Rachel when he is, like, in desperate need of comfort. He doesn't even really seem to be registering what's going on. His goal is not, like, go ask Rachel for help. His goal is fly at full speed into a hard surface.
Yeah.
You know, like killing yourself to death.
Yeah. Like how a bird would do that, you know?
Uh-huh.
He saw the geese. He knows what doing that would do.
Oh, God. Yeah, I didn't even connect it with the geese. Fuck.
Yeah. He wants to goose himself here.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, that's a term, but
yeah, he wants to crumple.
Yeah, he wants to power word scrunch.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Oh my god. Oh no.
But
we're laughing a lot. I really have to emphasize that this is written in just the most emotionally intense, bleak, desperate way. Like, I have read and written many a scene in which a character is like, God, I want to fucking die. And none of them worked as well as this chapter.
Yeah, this is as close to an all caps chapter as you will find in a professionally written thing.
Yes. Yeah.
We have to laugh right now because it is such an intense and, like, almost uncomfortable.
It's alarming.
Yeah, it is alarming. That's the word I want. It is an alarming thing to read, especially because these are children.
Yeah.
And at any given moment in any of these books, I want to reach inside and hug these children because this entire experience is going to mess them up forever.
Yeah.
This is definitely one of those experiences where I just want to be like, oh, you poor, poor bird boy. I want to hug you.
Yeah.
So he like spirals just like a missile through this mall looking for Rachel, who is performing her gymnastics thing. And
she's about to. She just got up to perform.
She just got up to perform and he like swoops down on her just like completely frantic. And she's like, what is going on, Tobias? What is happening? He's freaking out. He is panicking. And she's trying to soothe him, but he flies into her arms. And then she sort of has to release him so that it doesn't look like she's just Disney princessing this wild hawk.
Yeah, because she's in front of a huge crowd.
Yeah. And so she releases him and he just speeds towards this glass ceiling, which thankfully Marco, being the little shit that he is, was at this performance. He was up on like the second level of the mall, looking down, watching everything.
So after everybody told him not to go, he went anyway.
Yeah.
And thank fuck he did.
But you'll notice because he's above her, he is in a position to watch her without her knowing.
Uh-huh.
So he still gets to watch her, but he's not watching her to bug her. Like, it's clearly he's just watching her because she's good at gymnastics and he has a crush on her.
He's watching her because of the yearning.
Yeah, it's the yearning, capital Y.
Yes.
And Marco with like, oh, I'm so glad it was Marco and not like Jake that did this.
Yes.
But Marco throws a baseball at the glass ceiling right before Tobias would collide with it. And he shatters the glass so that Tobias just goes through the roof and gets out.
Yeah, he does not smash into the glass. Thank fuck. That is the only reason Tobias did not die right here, right now.
Yeah. And just like that was, I know it's, you know, a kid's book and, you know, it's written so that this, but like in real life, if that was happening, that is the most knee jerk reflex reaction to just like, oh, fuck. And then just throw the baseball at the glass ceiling. That was fucking brilliant.
So from here, Tobias, he escapes alive and he fucks off all the way. He goes back to the meadow for a week to just be a hawk.
He turns off his brain. Or like he retreats inside his own mind is the way they're sort of describing it. And he's honestly not having a bad time just being a hawk.
Yeah.
But at night, his human brain gets lonely.
Yeah. At night, because he's not hunting, he's not flying, it's owl time, he is thinking his human thoughts, and it's very sad. But during the day, he's connecting with this other female hawk quite a bit. He goes to her territory, but she's pretty chill about it. He watches her fail to hunt a baby raccoon, and he's like, oh, yeah. Like, there's no way either of us could take on, like, a full-grown raccoon. They're sharing space. They're sharing time. He's watching this female hawk. She's watching him as he's doing things. At one point, he is, like, vaguely, like, he has to kind of, like, remind himself that he has human friends and, like, what their names are and that they are animorphs. Like, even that is, like, he has to actively keep in touch with that part of his brain, which is another reason why I was like, he is not making out of this book cognizant. Like,
yeah, he almost fucks that bird. But he doesn't, because, you know, obvious reasons.
Yes.
And the thing that sort of snaps him out of it is he sees a person running from a Hork-Bajir, right? And he basically, what does he do? He like distracts the Hork-Bajir so that the guy can get away.
Yeah. And at first, he's not even really registering like Hork-Bajir and human. He is just seeing predator and prey. And then he's like, oh, right, humans, right. I should save him. And yeah, distracts the Hork-Bajir. Human gets away, which will have implications.
Particularly for that poor Hork-Bajir.
Oh, yeah. So after seeing this, he goes back to Rachel's. And she's like, where were you? And he's like,
how fucking dare you?
Yeah, she's pissed.
Initially, she's like, oh my God, thank goodness you're still alive. But then she also reacts like a normal human and is just, how fucking dare you?
Yeah. Like, they were so worried. And of course they were. They just watched him try to kill himself a million times, then he disappeared for a fucking week. Tobias! Like, I don't blame you, but like, oh my God. So, Rachel is insisting, like, you are a human person. And he's like, I guess. And she's like, he very pointedly does not answer. She asks him, what would you have done if Marco hadn't thrown the baseball? And he does not answer her. He just like says other shit. He completely avoids that question.
Yeah.
But then he tells her about the Hork-Bajir and the dude. And Rachel is doing her same, like, when the Andalites come back, when the Andalite comes back. And Tobias is like, yeah, sure, I guess. So they decide that they are going to go through with this plan tomorrow, which was already the plan. He's just been away, but they need to do it on the weekend for timing purposes, blah, blah, blah. So then we jump into this most stupidest plan of my life. These fucking
this plan
idiots.
Is so bad.
So
I love them
stupid.
So much, but they're such stupid children.
They're so pathetic. So they're so what they do is they go up the mountain in the wolf form. They find a cave to stay in. Tobias found them a cave. They still can't morph with shoes. So they're walking around this mountain fucking barefoot when they're in their human forms. And then they have to get DNA for a fish, which means they have to go fishing. And only Cassie is aware that fishing is essentially waiting. And like maybe a fish will happen to you, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah. Fishing is just trying to win at waiting.
Yes.
And none of them, like, they all think they, you know, they're kids. They watch cartoons. They figure, oh, I'll drop a hook in the water.
Yeah.
And then a fish will bite the hook.
Yeah.
That's fish are drawn to hooks.
Yeah, like, I've played Animal Crossing.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll have to wait like 30 seconds, yeah. But then I just hit A a bunch and then I'll get it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Like, I will say, though, it's so refreshing to see child heroes with stupid plans.
Oh, yeah. So obviously this does not go as they plan. And they're like running out of time because they only have so much time to execute this really stupid plan. Tobias is freaking out. The further along this goes, the less and less he likes this plan and thinks that it's going to work. Marco is kind of with him. Jake is really defensive and pissed. He's like, listen, I know it's not a good plan, but what else are we going to fucking do? Because if we don't do it, they're going to drink the lake up and then they're going to leave.
Yeah. Jake makes a really good, I think it's Jake. He makes a really good point where he's just like, once the water drops to a certain point, they'll know they can't stealthily scoop up water from here anymore. And then they're going to go to some other spot. And it's an invisible ship, you know?
Yeah. Right. So finally, thank God, Cassie, the only one here worth a damn, catches a fucking trout. They get the DNA. They do not have time to test the fish morph. This is a huge point of contention for Tobias and Marco. They are both like acutely aware that if you don't test a morph, things are like 10 times more likely to go really bad, especially a morph as different from the others as a fish. They've never done an aquatic creature before.
When they're acquiring DNA, do you hear a sound in your head when you're reading that?
Yeah, kind of like a wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine is like a
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Continue. That's it. I just wanted to know that.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. They get the fish DNA. Tobias is just so fucking over this stupid plan that he pieces out. He's like, I'm going to go patrol. You all do this. I fucking guess. There are rangers approaching. He alerts the others. There's helicopters on the way. They are way faster than these kids can get back into the cave. And if they get seen, like, they're fucked. So he's like, I love diving at things and head-on collisions. So he dives at the helicopter.
Yep.
There's a helicopter Hork-Bajir on the way so bad. And then he realizes, like, oh, I'm actually going to crash into this helicopter. Like, I'm actually going to die. Luckily, he narrowly avoids being hit. They swerve one way, he swerves another. But he has distracted them enough for the rest of the team to get into the cave safely, like, just barely.
And now that's two incidents where a hawk has done something weird to the aliens in this forest.
And also, I would not be shocked if there were controllers at the mall when Tobias was acting as a weird hawk doing things that hawks shouldn't do in a mall.
Mm-hmm.
So, so he narrowly avoids helicopter death. They see that there are double the guards here that there were from last week. There is a blade ship. They're firing Dracon beams at anything that moves. At one point, they shoot a deer, and Cassie's like, deer have never hurt anyone, which is a lie.
Yeah.
Prey animals fuck up more shit than predator animals do. And then also
Dracon beams are just straight up disintegration rays.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's just slicing through stuff.
They're lightsaber guns.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like,
and then Visser 3 is also here, of course.
Yeah. And he is so pissed off.
he's so mad that he's... Is this when he's throwing a tantrum in the ship?
And the ship is rocking back and forth. I love it. He is
so funny.
He is pissed off in a way that I have to imagine he's been monologuing to no one for like 2 hours.
Yes.
He is that pissed off.
He's such a big baby.
I love him so much.
If
there is an Animorphs revival, I will give my right arm to play Visser 3.
Oh, you'd kill it.
Oh my goodness.
Because of all of this stupid kerfuffle, there's a human controller and a Hork-Bajir that almost catch them, but their new plan...
God, this is such a stupid plan.
Jesus Christ, guys. So their new plan, because they don't have as much time as they were hoping for, and they won't be able to morph at the water like they were planning to, because now there's all these people around, is that... It's such a bad plan. So... they are going to morph into fish in the cave and have Tobias ferry
drop them
into the water. It's so stupid.
These children should not be guerrilla soldiers.
No. And on top of this, like, they don't even talk about, like, Tobias has been hunting. You are going to be fish in his talons. Like, what?
Oh, my,
like,
God. Yeah.
Luckily, he talks about red-tail hawks not hunting fish. But, like, I wouldn't trust that.
No, that's free real estate right there, baby.
Right, like,
free food.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if this book had given me Tobias trying to eat his friend. Like.
Mm-hmm.
So. Everything about this plan is so stupid dumb, and Tobias and Marco are the only ones who see that this is the stupidest plan on earth. It's so stupid, but there's only two of them. They get outvoted, and they're like, okay, but meanwhile, I'm over here again pointing, like, if Tobias and Marco are agreeing on something, you need to listen to them.
Yeah, this is like going back to X-Men. If Wolverine and Cyclops are in agreement on something.
Yeah. So Cassie is the best at morphing and blah, blah, blah. So she morphs first and it's absolutely fucking disgusting. Really fucked up. We get her being like, it's okay, I can still breathe air. And then immediately after she gets gills. and then she's panicked. She's like, I need the water. I need the water. Tobias takes her and he is spotted by a Hork-Bajir, but like, it's okay. And he plops her into the water and now she's a fish in the water. Then from there, he does this one by one with all of the others.
It's so dumb.
It's so stupid. And while Rachel is morphing, she's the last one. She's mid-morph in the cage. A Hork-Bajir and a human controller find them. They're slashing through the woodlands with like a big machete. They pop into the cave as Rachel is mid-morph. They don't immediately see her. They see Tobias, though. And he just like flies at the human's face.
Yeah.
And then he narrowly gets them out. He gets shot at by a Hork-Bajir. And the Hork-Bajir, firing the Drakon gun, does not hit Tobias. He hits a hole in the ship. And so the ship just has like a clean hole in it.
And like all of the controllers nearby are like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just like stops shooting. He's like, stupid Hawk anyway. I don't give a shit. Hawk is fine. Whatever.
Yeah. And they, oh my God. It's very much just like, oh man, Visser 3 is going to fucking kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you are lucky.
Yeah. Tobias is flying closer to the ship than he should be, but he wants to keep up their communication as much as possible. And it has like proximity limits. And then Jake is the first to get sucked up through the boba straw. And he, first off, the way that it's written is really funny. He's like, wee! Yay! Woo!
Yeah,
so
it's very
funny.
Cute.
It's very cute. I love that they took the time to like write that out. It's so goofy. He says that it is a big tank with a grate at the top, so they should be able to flop out. If the tank gets filled all the way, they should be able to flop out onto the grate, morph to human, and then open the grate. And then do like some big
yada yada
shit from there.
Yeah.
My note on this next step of this plan is I fucking guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. So.
Yeah, because a ship that big is definitely pilotable by one person or
Absolutely.
One team
definitely.
Of four people who have never, they don't even know how to drive.
No.
They rode bikes here.
It's so stupid. And their plan is like, yeah, we'll morph into humans and then we'll morph into like big, you know, our like big battle morphs. And it's like, you could be seen. Like, everything is wrong with this plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Tobias can't keep hovering under the ship, between the ship and the water. He's getting super, super, super physically exhausted. So he has to fly up and wait. So he can't help. He can't hear them. He doesn't know what's going on. And during this time, he sees that Hork-Bajir who shot the hole into the ship get dragged to Visser 3. And then we get this narration from Tobias. I turned away. I won't tell you what was happening to the Hork-Bajir. That memory will be my own private nightmare. Whew.
Yeah. Once again, Visser 3, not a great boss.
Not a great boss. Not a great boss. So when he looks back, that Hork-Bajir is just gone, fully gone. Mm-hmm. And Visser 3 is pointing at the sky, looking fucking pissed. Tobias knows that Visser 3 is putting two and two together, that there is a quote unquote Andalite in a bird form fucking shit up for them and doing something. And they take off in their ships and they start shooting every bird.
Everything. Everything. Anything that moves is immediately vaporized, which, yes. You know, if I was fighting a shapeshifter like that, you got to do it. Like, that's it, you know?
Uh-huh.
The paranoia that Visser 3 has, he's not paranoid enough.
Yeah. So things are bad and then they get worse. He realizes that if they see him, they're going to shoot at him. And he he's like, OK, well, I know that Visser 3 gets mad when you shoot the ship.
This is so shitty. I love it. It's brilliant.
It is. It is. So he just goes and lands on the ship. He's like, OK, fine. Yep. Fucking shoot me. Good luck. Good luck to your ship. Good luck.
How good's your aim?
Yeah. 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 And then Rachel, because he's on the ship, he can communicate again. Rachel communicates and he's like, hi. So we're all going to die. We're stuck. She's like, you know, we're stuck. It's going to take off. We can't open this grate. We're trapped in it. We're going to die. Peace out. And he's like, I never told you that I had a crush on you. And she's like, no, I knew. Okay, bye forever.
Yeah, she pointedly says, we don't want to be taken alive.
Uh-huh.
Which, once again, whew, that is a thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they know the stakes. Like, they cannot allow themselves to be captured because they would be just too powerful a weapon.
Yeah.
As far as they know, the Yerks have exactly one shapeshifter.
Yes.
They cannot have four.
No.
You know?
No. Humanity would be, like, so far past fucked at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Tobias, having literally nothing left to lose, is like, hey, listen. I am not a prey animal. I am a predator animal, and I can still fuck shit up. So he steals a gun. He steals the Dracon beam. Hawk gun, hawk gun.
And it's just, he's just firing wildly.
Yeah.
With this disintegrator beam, which is still just like, yeah, that'll do it, you know?
It'll work. So he... using like the last of his little hawk body strength because he's so tired. He is clawing literally with his talons, clawing his way up to the bridge at the very top where he fires the Dracon beam. It slashes through the taxons who are manning the ship. It slashes through the control panel. Everything is exploding and breaking and the ship starts falling.
Okay, I attack the ship. You what? I attack the ship. I steal a gun and I attack the ship. All right. Roll, I guess.
Roll dexterity.
Nat 20. Nat 20. God damn it. This was supposed to be a 3-session thing.
So he's slicing through everything. It's great. He very consciously is like, even if I die and all my friends die, this is what Rachel would want.
Yeah.
So the ship is shuddering. It flips. It crashes into one of the helicopters. It crashes into a bug fighter. The other bug fighters in the Blade ship are bailing the fuck out of there. There's a huge exploded hole in it from when it hit one of these things. And again, in another Nat 20 moment, somehow, luckily, the rest of the team, he sees them in their human forms falling out of the exploded hole. So that's great. They're getting out of there. Less great that they're in the sky.
This entire time, Visser 3 has just been like psychically shouting to anyone that can hear, right. Andalite, I know you're out there.
It's so funny. It's so and funny.
And it's important that he thinks they're Andalites now because, humans fall out of the ship and turn into birds. And we don't hear anything from him after that.
Uh-huh. And them keeping the fact that they're humans a secret has been like a huge part of their safety. So I'm deeply worried. Also, they're falling to the ground and are humans. So that's like typically when a human falls from the sky to the ground, like that's not typically good.
No.
So luckily, they morph into birds just in time to not get crushed on the ground to death. But the other ships are still following and looking for other birds and killing every bird they see. And then we see the Lady Hawk, who Tobias has been bonded with, and he knows that they look super different. But to everyone else, like to these Yerk, et cetera, she looks just like this hawk that they're trying to track down. Mm-hmm. So they kill her. I'm not going to lie, I didn't feel a lot about this.
Yeah.
I hope that they think that they killed him. I don't think that we're going to be that lucky, but...
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Even if Visser 3 was the one specifically to, like he crushed that bird in his hand, he's still assuming there's another bird out there.
Yeah, and he's right. So... then we get our final chapter in classic Animorphs fashion. It's a lot of build up and then everything goes fucking insane and then it's normal.
Yep.
So he goes to Rachel's. Rachel, very sweetly, Rachel and Cassie are offering to go get the hawk's body, go find it and bury her, which is really, really lovely. But Tobias is like, nah, she'll get eaten. And that's nature. And it's fine. He and Rachel have this nice moment. He says he agrees with Rachel, like, yes, I am a hawk. I am also a human. I know this because I was sad when the hawk was killed, and sadness is for humans.
Yeah.
I'm a human because of my capacity for grief. And like, And then in the most audacious thing I have ever read in these books so far, it ends with him saying, like, be happy for me. No, I will not be happy for you.
Well, it's be happy for all who fly free, I believe is what he said.
He says, I still, like me, and like, oh, no.
He's definitely still trying to put a Band-Aid on things.
Oh, yes. So.
Well, I'm sure this angst won't come up again. It's totally healed.
Oh, definitely. I think that it's normal and I think that it's fully resolved. I think we've come to a great sense of closure. Oy, oy, oy. So.
Wasn't this a great book?
It's so fucking good.
So fucking good.
I think I don't know. I really enjoyed this one. I'm very, very attached to the second book. The second book was like, it really spoke to me. But this book it does feel like we're already on kind of like the next level for these books.
Mm-hmm. And this is the third book. Yeah. There's like 80 more books.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Crazy. On to our final segment here, which I am calling Now Vermorph. If you had to morph into an animal right now, what would it be?
I want to be a red panda.
They're
very cuddly.
They're so precious.
I love them.
They look like they're always comfy.
Yeah, exactly. They look like a cardigan. Like not like they're wearing a cardigan, but that they are a cardigan.
They're the embodiment of cardigan. It's so true.
Yes. Either that or a velociraptor, because I think that would be neat.
Yeah. Do we get dinosaurs?
Oh, I don't know.
I know that we get whales, and I'm really scared.
I mean, just based off of what whales are, they're not a frequent occurrence.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to however the fuck they get in the ocean, but we'll see. For me, I think right now I'm like a little bit chilly. We're in that weird, like, not spring, not winter. Sometimes it's snowing, sometimes it's warm. I would really love to be a capybara in a hot spring with yuzu. That sounds...
Oh, yeah.
Really amazing right now. I think that's my Navromorph this time.
Just the water pouring on your head and you do not care.
Mm. Oh, sounds so good. Sounds so good. It sounds so relaxing. Just a little happy spa day as a big rodent guy.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Well, Joshy, thank you so much for being here. This has been so fun. I'm so glad that I got to talk to you about this book. We'll have you on again soon, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, please. Thank you for having me. I want to do as many of these as you will let me do.
I love this series because everyone has been saying that. Like, it's just, I love the way that the series gets people so excited and like everybody wants to talk about it. And it's been so fun already. I'm really, really, really thrilled that I pursued this New Year's resolution to finally read these books.
Yeah, this is great. I can't wait until the show is out so I can listen to everything.
Nevermorphed is hosted, edited, and produced by Will Williams. Our theme music is The Chase by Joey Hendrix. Our title is by Eddie Feely, and this podcast would not exist without Mike Schubert's podcast, Potterless and the Newest Olympian. You can find his works at shub.es. That's shub.es. Nevermorphed is a proud member of Hug House Productions. You can find more at hughouse.productions and follow us on Tumblr at Nevermorphed. Get morphin'!